1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading verse 16. Paul begins with a question. He says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" May God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. Corinth was a divided church. And the reason for these splits is the church was filled with immature believers. They were babes in Christ. But the tragedy is they had been given time and teaching sufficient to grow up. They just hadn't grown up. So they had a tendency always to revert to their flesh in order to accomplish anything for God. They were a fleshly church, an immature church. And one of those areas of immaturity is they didn't understand what the church is. I remember growing up in Baytown, Texas, and my mom asking, you know, early in the morning usually, "You going to church today?" And when she asked me that, I was always thinking about that building down on the corner. I think about a building. And we've been conditioned to do that, a physical building, right? When we think of Glendale Baptist Church, what do we think of? Right here, this building right here, made out of brick and mortar and wood. That was the problem with the church at Corinth. They really didn't understand who they were or what they were. So what is the church? Let's look in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 just as an introduction. The Apostle Paul writes here, simple verse, but he asks a question. He says, "Do you not know?" That's the reason for their carnality. They didn't know. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Let me say it like this. The Spirit of the living God dwells in you? Don't you know that? So what is the church? If we can come to grips with this truth, I mean really come to grips with it, really understand it and apply it to our lives, Glendale will never have, at least in this generation, a church split. That assumes a lot, doesn't it? It assumes we have to really get into this passage and understand who we are. And with that in our mind, I'm going to need some help today, folks. So let me appeal to the great teacher, because I'm certainly not a great teacher. Let's pray. Father, I ask this morning in an amazing way that our great teacher, the Holy Spirit, really the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the one who is building His church, would speak through me today, would use these human lips, this human mind. And Father, I pray that the words would be directed to hearts here, and hearts would be changed and transformed, that our thinking would change, ultimately resulting in how we do business in the local body of Christ. To this end, I pray, dear Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So what is the church? I want us to start our adventure in Acts chapter 7 with some words of Stephen. Remember Stephen when he was being rocked to sleep, stoned, killed for his faith? I'm reading in verse 46, "Who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for God, the God of Jacob." That is, they were asking for a dwelling place for God. "But Solomon built him a house." Remember that, do we not? Solomon, David's son, built Solomon's temple. "However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with human hands. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me?' says the Lord. Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things?" We refer to this often in our praying, do we not? As the house of God. Do we not do that? Let's go back and find his old dwelling place. I want to go back to Exodus just for a moment. Chapter 24. This is where God instructed Israel to build him a tabernacle, which became the blueprint for the temple. But in Exodus 24, listen as I read in verse 9. In verse 8, it says, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And according to all I show you," that is, "the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern for all its furnishings, just so you shall build it." In other words, build it exactly the way I tell you to build it. And over in Exodus 35, verse 10, and Exodus 36, verse 1, there was two men, Bezalel and Oholiab, that God picked out as artisans, as workers, designers and builders to build, to help build the tabernacle. And he wanted it built just a certain way by these men. These special gifted craftsmen were to build the dwelling just a certain way. Why? Well, that why can be found over in Exodus chapter 40. And listen as I read this, Exodus 40, 34 and 35. Exodus 40, 34 and 35, we read, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting," now here it is, "and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." This is a reference to the Shekinah glory. The manifest presence of God filled the tabernacle. Boy, that was an awesome day, wasn't it? Can you imagine? And it says in verse 35, "And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it." They saw the cloud and the pillar of fire at night. They saw the visible manifestation of the living God. And it says above it, "And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." That is, the Shekinah glory of God, His manifest presence filled the tabernacle. So He was there, and there for many years He dwelt among His people. But then because of Israel's rebellion against Him, because of their sin, God left that old physical temple. That is, His manifest presence left it. But He didn't leave it quickly. This is what I want us to see now in Ezekiel chapter 10. If you'll flip all the way over there, Ezekiel chapter 10, in verse 4, we read these words. Now here the Shekinah glory of God is leaving the tabernacle because of Israel's rebellion against God, because of their sin, He's leaving. But He left reluctantly. He didn't leave quickly because He loved the people. And He gives us this kind of an impression. Verse 4 says, "Then the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple." He's going up and He pauses slightly over the threshold. He's reluctant to leave. "And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory," the Shekinah glory. And verses 18 and 19 say, "The glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels were beside them, and they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was above them." So He hovered over the eastern gate. Again, He's a reluctant to leave. Over the threshold, and then over the eastern gate. But He's leaving. The manifest presence of God is leaving the tabernacle. Verses 22 and 23 says, "And so the cherubim lifted up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was high above them." Verse 23. "And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain." So now we've come from the threshold. We've come from the eastern gate, now over the mountain. Again, showing His reluctance to leave. And then over the temple was written Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. He was gone. And for many centuries, the manifest presence of God was nowhere on the earth. Wasn't here. Well, we know that He's omnipresent. His presence is everywhere. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But He had not manifest His presence in any temple on the earth for centuries. Time passed. No manifestation. Oh, but flip over to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. Need to see this. You need to get it into your thinking. In Acts chapter 2, it says, beginning in verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them diverse or divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all," here it is, "filled with the Holy Spirit." That is, the Shekinah glory of God in the person of the Holy Spirit now began to fill another temple. but not a temple made out of brick and wood, out of mortar, out of precious stones, a living temple. And it says they all begin to speak with other tongues. Now, we've taught this, and we know they begin to speak the gospel to people of other tongues, of other languages. They could understand the gospel. We're asking the question, what is the church? Very important. We read these from the Apostle Paul. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. Did you hear that? As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. That's powerful stuff. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Listen to this. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, listen to this, who was given to us. Every believer has God the Holy Spirit living in them. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that you there is singular? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have of God, and you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, because it belongs to Him. Romans 8, 9. Look at this. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You're a spiritual person. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. What about that? The mark of our identity as believers is because God the Holy Spirit tabernacles within us. He lives within us. Our body is His dwelling place. Has that ever dawned on you? Has that ever sufficiently impressed you? So what is the church? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. This is Peter writing. And I want us to understand before I read this passage. The church is a building. It is. But it's not this building here. Just because you put a sign out front saying Glendale Baptist Church, that doesn't mean this is the church. Not according to the Word of God. Immature believers believe that. But the Spirit of God is not here until the body of Christ is here. Because the Spirit of God lives in us. The church is not here until we're here. In fact, when we're not here, spiders, roaches, and heaven knows what else fills these halls. And if you will remember that, I know we do pray, Father, we come to your house today. I know that. But as long as we don't believe it, as long as we know the truth, Peter writes in verse 5, you also, as living stones, look at it, are being built up, here's the church, a spiritual house. That's what we are. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. Are you convinced yet? I didn't think so. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look in verse 25. Now this is not a message on husbands and wives, but listen to what the Apostle Paul writes here. He says in verse 25, Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for, here it is, her. He referred to the church as her, not a building, but her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Look at Acts 9, 31. Now, I want you to mark this if you can get here before I leave the passage, but I'll try to mark it in your mind. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, the churches plural, had peace. Now, wait a minute. Let me think about this. Do buildings have peace? Does this physical building ever manifest peace? No. And were edified, that is spiritually built up. Is this building ever spiritually built up? Now, we paint the walls, don't we? We put carpets on the floor. We like a very comfortable, nice place to meet with air conditioned in the summertime. We got to have it. We have to have heat in the wintertime. It's a comfortable place to meet, but listen to me carefully. It is not the church. When you begin to mature as a believer, then you begin to understand that. Why do churches split most of the time in Baptist churches? Over what? The color of the what? Wall? The color of the carpet? What? The cushions? Hear me. And walking in fear of the Lord, churches fear the Lord? Fear the Lord? Not hardly. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, we're multiplied. Churches are multiplied. Churches manifest peace. They're spiritually edified. They walk in the fear of the Lord. That's not physical buildings. Acts 11, verse 22. The news of these things came to the ears of the church. Now, this is amazing, isn't it? I know sometimes you feel like this church, this building has ears. But it really doesn't, does it? No, it doesn't have ears. This building doesn't have ears. To the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Down in verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, so that it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught many great people. This building can be taught? No. No. This church doesn't have ears. This church can't be taught. Down in chapter 12, verse 1 of Acts 12, verse 1. Now about the time of Herod the king stretched out his hand to arrest some from the church. The building? No. Here's what we're saying. The church enjoyed peace. Obviously, physical buildings don't enjoy peace. The churches were spiritually edified. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. The church had ears. The church has numbers and is taught. And the church can pray and can be harassed. Buildings? No, not buildings. We use stuff, but we love what? People. The church is people. The church is a living temple. It is a spiritual house. It is not stuff. There are so many children who have become afraid of God because they've been jerked up for running in the house of God. It's amazing. They knew better, but we don't. Verse 5, chapter 12 says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered up to God for him by the church. Buildings pray? Now I'm overemphasizing this, am I not? But I want us to see it. Because the reason for divisions at Corinth, the reasons that this was a divided church is the people at Corinth, the church at Corinth had not really fully grasped this. That their body was indeed the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God Himself dwelt inside of them. And whatever we expose our physical bodies to, we expose Him to. Dr. Donald Ray Barnhouse said one time, he said, after he taught a message like this, he said, it's as though we walk into a bar and we say as a believer, Holy Spirit, do you want a slug of liquor? We chuckle at that. I did when I heard it. Holy Spirit, you want some pot? You want a little drugs? Do you want to join yourself to a prostitute, Holy Spirit? He says, your body as a temple of God is holy. It's set apart to God. I want to read you some passages that talk about the church. Here's what they say. Acts 13:1, Acts 14:23, Acts 14:27, Acts 15:3 and 4, Acts 15:22, Acts 18:22, Acts 20:17, Acts 20:28, Romans 16:1, Romans 16:5, Romans 16:23, 1 Corinthians 1:2, 1 Corinthians 4:17, 5:15, 6:4, 10:31, 11:18, 11:22, 12:28, 1 Corinthians 14:12, 1 Corinthians 14:19, 1 Corinthians 14:23, 1 Corinthians 14:28, 14:35, 15:9, 16:9, 2 Corinthians 1:1, Galatians 1:13, 1:22, Ephesians 3:10, Ephesians 3:21, Philippians 1:2, Philippians 3:6, Philippians 4:15, Colossians 1:8, Colossians 1:24, Colossians 4:15, Colossians 4:16, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2, 1 Thessalonians 2 Thessalonians 1:1, 1 Timothy 3:5, 1 Timothy 3:15, 1 Timothy 5:6, Hebrews 12:23, James 5:24. And I'm not going to finish it, but none of these passages refer to the church as a building. Not one. How did we get so far from that? Where did we get separated from that? We need to go back. We need to mature. We need to understand, listen, that the Holy Spirit of God is here. He's in us. How would that change your life if you ever really believe that truth? How would that affect you? Would that make a difference? I think so. Changed my life. And the teaching ministry of that Holy Spirit within me is changing me all the time. I'm growing more to deeply love Jesus Christ. And because of that, I'm growing more to deeply to love His church. And because of that, I want to feed the sheep. I want to feed the flock of God. I want you to free yourself, whether you're capable of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. From within your mind, your heart, you can worship Him. And we can stand high above our petty problems in the local church and focus on Him. And getting the message of the gospel to people and living a testimony that's pleasing to Him. Not to bring a reproach on the church that would cause people not to believe the gospel, but to so live our lives that we're pleasing to Him. Because we're holy, set apart to God with a church. That's what the Corinthians had missed. They missed that. That's why they were fussing over following human leaders. We are of Paul. We are of Apollos. We are of Cephas. They were following men, not the Lord Jesus Christ, because they didn't recognize that their bodies were the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want us to see this. One last point. I said, when I quoted 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, which says, Paul says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have in yourself, you. He's talking about an individual. That the pronouns in the Bible are very important. Did we understand that? This is a book filled with nouns and verbs and adjectives and adverbs and pronouns and participles and infinitives. But every word is put here by the design of the Holy Spirit, not one by mistake. And that you there in 1 Corinthians 6 is singular. Talking about your body, yourself as a believer, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. But now let's go back to where we began and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 16. And this will tie it all together. Let's read it again. The apostle writes, do you not know that you, plural, not singular here, but plural, you as being the body of Christ, you the spiritual house, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Shekinah glory of God dwells in you, in us. That's awesome, isn't it? That really just explodes my mind. I cannot grasp it. Like I said at the outset, if you can fully grab this truth, it's preventive medicine, isn't it? Because we will never have a church split here. We won't be divided. Let's pray. Father, what an awesome thought. What an unbelievable, incomprehensible truth this is. That the Shekinah glory left one temple only to come one day and fill another temple. Father, would you impress upon us that we are a spiritual house. That this building on the corner here will one day not be here. It'll be blown with the wind and gone. But the temple of the living God will not be. Because God, the Lord Jesus, is forever building His church. And as long as there's time in history, He will build His church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Father, would you impress upon us that we are the living body of Christ. That we are spiritually alive. That we're a spiritual temple. A holy temple. That we do have ears. That we do pray. That we can be harassed. And Father, I pray that you would forever impress this truth upon us. So much so that when we have a tendency to want to fight and quibble over little unimportant things, even to the point of dividing believers with believers and brothers with brothers, and that we would set that aside, recognizing the Holy Spirit's there, that He's conscious of every word, conscious of every thought. Impress that upon us, Father. Teach it to us. Help us to mature and grow up. Thank you for this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.